Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to talk to you today about a parable of Jesus, one of the many parables of Jesus, but this one is one that, to be quite honest with you, I don't even know why I chose this to start off with, but the interesting part about it is, just like anything, I think, in Scripture, when you start to really sit down and look at it and study it a little bit, it suddenly starts to hit home and hits home real hard with me. And I'm just really hoping that it hits home with you folks as well. This parable has helped me. It has changed my attitude, quite frankly, about prayer. And so I'm going to go through the parable itself with you. This is found in the 18th chapter of Luke, verses, I think it's 1 through 8. And it's an interesting phenomena because in this particular parable, Luke tells us right off the very beginning what this is all about, what the reason for this is. And you can see that in here. The first verse of this chapter says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up." Some other translations translate that phrase, "not give up," to "not lose heart." It's really an interesting thing because what goes on after this, you might wonder, you know, well, how does this relate to God and me? All right, we're introduced to a couple of people in the first couple of verses here. It says, "In a certain town, there was a judge who feared God or cared about men, neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" Now, the judge, let's take a look at each one of these individually. First off, the judge feared no one. He feared no one, answered to no one. Didn't care what God thought about him, didn't care what any men thought about him or people. Didn't care. He had no worries about what he had to do, basically, in life, okay? He just did whatever he pleased. The widow is in a pretty terrible position to be in, quite frankly. At that time in history, a widow who, if her husband died, and her husband's family didn't care anything about her, oftentimes was left with nothing because the husband's family would take over all the property and money and everything else that was left behind after he passed away and just basically throw the widow out. It was not an uncommon practice for widows to have to turn to prostitution in order to live, in order to eat. And it was a bad time. Now, here was a widow who was being wronged, and she comes to this judge and asks him, "Grant me justice against my adversary. Grant me justice against my adversary." I used to wonder how in the world, you know, can I relate this judge who is a basically not a very good person, okay, to God. I mean, how does that even work? And in one area, it does somewhat. And that is that this judge answered to no one. Who does God answer to? Absolutely no one, all right? God is God. And God is does not answer to anyone at all and doesn't really have to worry about what people think about him because he's God. Now, the judge here is being asked to grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time, it says, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't wear me out with her coming. So the judge finally is basically worn down by this widow coming to him over and over and over again. Probably every day he is meets this widow and hears the same thing again. Please grant me justice. Grant me justice. Grant me justice. And he gives in basically because of her persistence. Her persistence. She is never ending. And he sees that she's not going to end. And so the only way he can end it is to grant her what she wants. And so he does that. All right. She gets justice so that she won't wear me out with her coming. Now, what we need to look at now is what Jesus says here in this parable at the end. Look at this. Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? So God, on the other hand, is a just judge. And he'll grant us our request if we cry out to him day and night. This is something that, you know, people read over this, I think. I know I did. I read over it and over it and never really put much weight on that cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. I will see that they get justice and quickly. We need to keep praying. That's what this whole thing is all about. This whole parable is all about is we need to keep praying. We need to pray and not give up. Not, you know, just continue on. Continue on. And God will grant us, we will be given justice, basically. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That verse right there threw me when I saw it at the end of this parable. What is he talking about here? However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? What does it mean when we stop praying? What does it mean to our faith? Our faith is weakening, right? It's ending. It's dropped off. We've prayed a couple of times for something, and it's not granted. And so, oh well, guess God doesn't want us to have it. And so we just stop. Is that faith? It's not faith. Faith is going to keep us praying. Faith is going to keep us praying over and over again, just like this widow. We're not going to stop. Now, here's something that I read, and I totally agree with this, that it is very, very possible that if we keep praying for something that God really doesn't want us to have, he's going to show us eventually what we really need and grant that to us. That's an important thing to think about here, because there are times when we pray for something, and some of us have prayed for the same thing over and over and over again, and nothing ever happens, and so we stop because we just figure, well, I guess God just said no. And so we don't go on with it anymore. And that's what Jesus is telling us not to do. We need to keep praying. We need to keep praying, and our faith, Our faith will keep us. And it's just something that we need to do to keep our faith strong. We need to keep praying continuously for whatever it is we think we need. Now, this is not the only parable that Jesus talked about persistence, to keep on, keep on, keep on. There's another one in Luke 11, which I guess I could go ahead and read that. It's not very long. It's about a situation here where a friend needs something and goes to his friend. Then he said to them, this is Jesus now talking, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. God promises us that he's going to answer our prayers. So we need to keep it up. We need to keep being persistent in our prayers and not stop. And like I said, I honestly and firmly believe that in being persistent in prayer, asking for the same thing over and over again, eventually the Spirit is going to show us basically what it is that we really need. If it's not that thing that we're praying for, whatever it may be, there may be something more that we need. And God will show us the way. And our prayers may change over time, but they should never, ever stop. That's the important thing, all right? Prayer has power. Prayer has power if we use it and if we don't give up on it. There's an illustration here that I want to talk to you about that I came across that I think is really it tells a lot about us and our prayer life. There's I'm going to get rid of this in the back here. There's a story of a Welsh woman who lived in a remote valley in Wales, and she went to a big lot of trouble and expense to have electrical power installed in her home. And after a couple of months, the electric company realized that she wasn't hardly using this stuff. And so they sent a guy out there to look to see if maybe there might be a problem with the installation, that they didn't hook things up right or something. And the guy came out, looked around, he saw that everything was hooked up properly. So he knocks on the door, and the lady comes to the door, and he says, you know, we're a little bit concerned about your lack of use of electricity. Is there a problem here that we can work out? And she said, oh, no, we're quite satisfied. She said, we turn on the lights every night and use that light to light our lamps, and then we switch it off. And so, I mean, it's kind of comical, but think about this. She believed in the electricity. She used it every night. Every night she turned it on. She believed that in the promises of the electric company. They told her that, you know, when you switch this switch on, the lights are going to come on, and they do. She believed in the promises. But she didn't understand the potential of electricity in her home. She had no idea how much it could mean to her, so she used it really sparingly. If we think about it, isn't that some of the ways in which we use prayer? We believe in prayer. We know the promises that God has made to us. And we've even heard and read stories of prayers that have been answered, maybe even experienced it in our own lives, okay? But we still tend to use prayer's power sparingly, just like the lady used electricity in her house. There's one thing I want to leave you with, and that is Michael Rhodes and I both work for the government, and the government is real, real big on acronyms, okay? Everything has an acronym. Every procedure has an acronym. An acronym that is basically just a group of characters that are, you take the first character from a series of words and you make a short acronym out of it. And this one is the word PUSH. And it's something that I would like all of you to remember. Everyone. I'm never going to forget this. Believe me. I want you to remember this. P-U-S-H. PUSH. Pray till something happens. Whether it be good or bad, in your eyes, okay, it's what God wants. And we need to keep praying until something happens. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Just keep praying.